Hey, today Duffy's Duff Gimmel. And let's continue from where we left off. So we've seen, that's actually interesting here. The way I ended the words was says, Lamatin, and I put chen. Now, I just noticed this, by the way. This is just an interesting point before we really start, is because the way I have my, in my Ozahara punctuated, because sometimes I throw in full stops every so often, is I put this full stop after chen. However, in a newer Ozahara, I've also got the soft cover recently, put the full stop before the chen. Which makes sense because that's exactly how the Pnei Moshe says. Because then now we're going to say Ken as well. We also see other situations where it's important for the Mishnah to say Lo zeh hariyah zeh, v'lo zeh hazeh. Why? Because otherwise, if you could learn from one from the other, then it would be what's called, if you remember from last year, it would be Shtei Ketuvim HaBayin Kechad. And once you've got Shtei Ketuvim HaBayin Kechad, you can't derive anything from it. Because once a Torah mentions two, or other words, two cases, it's no longer a model anymore. If one could be derived from the other, is trying to say that those two cases and those two cases only. That's why, if you remember now, our Mishnah, we went the way we're talking about the Nizikim, Shor, and Bor. It was very important to stress that they cannot be learned from one from the other, because once they cannot be learned from the other, then we can now start deriving Toladot or other types of form of damage. So we're doing the same thing as well in the next cases. It says, Ken lo hareha moshav kareha mishkav vola mishkav kareha moshav. So here, this is referring to certain items that are fit for sitting or lying on. So Mishkav and Moshav. We'll explain in a bit more detail soon. The important thing with those items is if a Zav sits on it, put most of his weight on it, then it becomes an Avatuma. Okay? So I'll just show you the Pnei Moshe. He sort of fills us in a bit. He says, Brighter to Rabbi Yishmael b'Torah Kohanim, Binyan Av, Mikatov, so Binyan Mikatov Ketzad. So lo hare mishkav ve'en anu yodim lilmod ze mizeh. So you can't learn from the other. Kama hata, what's a tzad shveh from both of them? Shem kelim anas asuim linoach adam levad. They're items that are really set aside for people to rest upon. Vazav metamatam berubov, that a zav u metamre berub with most of his weight. Vatama adam b'maga u'masa v'tame begadim. That will effectively become an avatuma, such that it can metamre another person, this object, because a zav is an avatuma. This, let's call it a cushion, a seat, things like that. If someone sits on it, if a Zav sits on it, it becomes another Tumah, and it can transfer Tumah if another Tahor person touches it. Or he carries it, okay? And make his clothing with all Av Kelim, so therefore we build a, if you like, a binyan up from those of these. Av Kelim Shehem Asul and Noach Adam Bilvad HaZav Metameotam. What does that exclude? That excludes other Kelim Shehem La'izu Malach Melachat Acheret. Okay, now the point is the what the Mishnah is trying to, what the Gemara is going to stress is you can't, even though the Torah talks about a mishkav and a moshav, a seat and something, moshav is more of a seat and mishkav is something to lie on. It says that they can't be learned one from the other. It says nicha lo hareya moshav kareya mishkav im moshav betefach yitma moshav. In other words, the simplest way to understand this, I don't really fully understand the Bar Fulda's take on this, because he has because the way I'm explaining it now fits a similar pattern that we've been learning in the previous case and the case after, which is a bit like the Red Buzz as well. He says, I'll read the Red Buzz. Mishkav. So the point to understand is, and v'chen other case as well, is the minimum shear for a moshav and a mishkav are different. One's a tefach, and the other one is, we'll call it 4x4. That's the way the Gemara understands it here. So since they have different shiurim, you couldn't learn one from the other. That's the simplest way of explaining this, I think. And therefore, since you couldn't learn from the other, then the Gemara says, Ilo lo ma mishkav hayiti lamed mishkav min ha-moshav, or ilo ne ma mishkav hayiti lamed moshav min mishkav. Could I have really learned one from the other? The answer is no. V'lama tanin tata. So why is it that we to teach lo arei v'zerei azeh, it says lamatir hacha de'it leit litnuyei saginin milin, that we need to derive, if you like, from it other cases as well. The other cases, for example, would be the powerful that says a safsal or a kiseh. These are other things that dumb people sit on or rest on, and now I can have toladot from this. I can derive other cases, and again, because I can't learn from the other, it's not shtekvim b'echad. It opens room to now derive from it. Because if it was, I could derive from one another. Why is the Torah explicitly mentioning two cases, even though if they could derive from one another? That is to say that really there's only these two cases. So again, we can see quite clearly it follows the same pattern as we learned yesterday, that it's important to establish that they can't be derived from other, because once we do that, now we can start deriving toladot. Okay. Now, Ken, again, we've got the next. Ken lo parsha neirot, kare parsha shiluach tmeim. Now, what's neirot and shiluach tmeim got to do with lo parsha shiluach tmeim, kare parsha neirot? So here we're referring to both these cases. It's where the tzav is miyado ledorot. And from that, we build out a, we can learn from this that every time the Torah says tzav, it means miyado ledorot. But once again, it's important to understand that they can't be learned from one another. Because they could be learned one from another. The fact that it explicitly says miyado ledorot, it might be only for these two cases. It would only be for these two cases. Now that tzav would not be miyado ledorot. So I'll just show you the Marafulda. He says, Lo parshat neirot, meaning this is gamzeh sham in a brayta in the Torah Kohanim, b'minyanav mishne ketuvim keitzad. Once again, how do you build a binyanav from two ketuvim? If you normally say shtei ketuvim b'yechad you can't build out from it. And once again, it has to be that it can't be learned right from the other. Mefarsh bal korban aaron, which is quoted before. If you just turn about Nerot, as in lighting the candles in the menorah, Shubatzav miyado ledorot, right? If Charli Monish shluch tamim, I couldn't learn necessarily shluch tamim that tzav means also miyado ledorot. Why? The davke Nerot, maybe Nerot is only miyad. Hul v'hukam a mishkan tzrich ledlik Nerot, because that was that was part of their resurrection. Oh, sorry, the erection of the mishkan. Sorry. Aval shiluch tamim, maybe ainu miyad. Ela made it means by the actual Beis Hamikdash itself, Beit Olamim. V'chein also had it only talked to said shiluach tamim is also miyad. Uladorot, but not Toras Neirot, I wouldn't be able to learn it. Havamina, maybe the only reason why Shluch Tmem is Miyad Uladorot is because that's got to eat, because it's Chamur, the Aveir is huge. If someone's Tame into the Beis Hamikdash, it's an Usakaret. So therefore, since each cannot be learned from the other, I've got Shtek Tovim that are not buying Keichad anymore, so therefore I can build a Binyanav that every time it says in the Torah, Tzav means Miyad Uladorot. Okay, that's again the similar pattern we've been doing. So once again, so ilo no mar pasha luach tmei maiti leben pasha shiluach tmei shiratrim bevarach nirot. But lametinu to hachad ilay pnuya sagim milin. You got to learn again to learn many things. What so kenat hatzata shabeba shabehem shehen betzav and which means biyad uladorot av kol shu betzav. Any time it says in the Torah tzav, it also mimiyad uladorot. It's not just a mitzvah for that point in time, but also for future generations as well. To understand, you've got the mitzvah Hagavat Nedarot, for example. Also, Shiluach Tamim doesn't just apply in the Mishkan, etc., etc. We have other cases of Tzav. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amar Abla, Sirich Shuye Shuyomar Lekol Echad Ve'Echad. In other words, we needed to, if you like, teach every single one of the cases in the Mishnah. Okay? Fine. In other words, Kolomar, the Marafulda says, Kolomar Shor Bor Ve'esh. We need each of them because each got special, if you like, halachas that apply to them. Let's have a look what that means. Why? Because with shor, it's a because even you got v'hashor, he takes it out. Hashor melamed shabali mitaplin b'nevela. The fact that the shor is mentioned, there's a unique law by shor that if one ox gores another ox and it dies, that the owner of the dead ox is metalpel, meaning he has a carcass. He can sell it. He's responsible to do whatever he wants with it. And the person who caused the damage just has to pay the difference. Now, that's important because otherwise you might think that, one second, well, you killed my ox, buy me a new one. And you take care of you can keep the carcass. I don't need this carcass. No, that's why it says that the Hamet Yelo is to tell you that the Nizak has to metapel the Nevela. Now, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, one second, v'chiv v'bor v'hamet Yelo as well. By Bor, you've also got Vamet Yelo. What does that refer to? Okay, so the Gemara says, Tani Reb Yishmael, that's to teach us, Yetzu Karko She'enu Mitaltzelin. So there's two ways to explain this. I mean, there's probably many more, but I'll show the if you like, the Pnei Moshe and the Marafulda. He says, is that the case is as follows, that in a case of a Karka being damaged by a Bor, how so? So Pnei Moshe explains, Shechafar Bor Samuch L'Rosho Sarabim. Let's say you dug a hole close to Rosho Sarabim. Kedei Because what are you doing this? You're building foundations for a wall. The Beitor. Umachmat ken, because that, nitkal kela karka vanafla. That land, if you like, collapsed into it. Sorry. Miyelo, and from the past, yelo kadarish yatz. We're learning yatzakarka delo mitaltel. So only things that are mitaltel, movable, I've explained this as means, I'll show you the manifold in a moment, those are the things you'd be chayav to pay and not for land that got damaged by a hole. Okay, interesting exemption. But I'll show you the manifold that says, v'nira dezelaman mina kesef eshiv lebaalav. He understands it differently. He says, because the Torah says, you've got to, kesef eshiv, you've got to return the kesef. Deba'ina davka mitaltelin, because that, the drash from that pasuk is to teach us that it's specifically mitaltelin. Why? Finally, yashiv la'rabot, because when it says yashiv la'ba'alav, that's to teach you can also return, if not the object, even shver kesef. Not just money, even things that are worth money to pay the person back. V'atam, why? De'i lo mizdab ben hacha mizdab ben mata acharita. That if you don't, can't sell it, he can sell it somewhere else. Lafuker karakot, this to exclude karakot. She'ein metatli mimakom lamakom. That can't be moved from place to place, right? That's the next case as well, which is slightly different. It sounds like here what it's saying is metal. This is to exclude paying off the person, paying back with karka, not the karka got damaged. All right, that's a if like two different drachim, if I understood it correctly, right? Because he says you can merabe shvekes. If you can pay with shvekes, you don't have to pay with even coins. You can pay with something of monetary value. Why? Because those things can be moved around. Those can be metaltel. The person can, sell it. But land, it's not mitaltel, and therefore you can't pay back, it sounds like, with land. La fukarkasha ain't mitaltel mimakom lamakom. Because those are two ways. So in other words, it's interesting, depending on what we're talking about, that la fukarkasha that was damaged, whereas he's saying, talking about the, if you like, la fukarkasha to pay back. Okay. Let's continue. And also it comes with yatsa adam, she'ein lo hanaya b'moto. Which means it also excludes a, if you like, a person that got damaged by the, by like got killed and by falling into this pit. Now the reason why I need to say that is because normally when it comes to say if a ox did damage and killed a human being, they'd have to be kofir. They would have to pay this kofir. You have to pay the it's literally translates to ransom, but a sum of money that has to be paid there. The kofir has to be paid. Again, we're going to learn about this, but here we're trying to say, but by bor that's not the case because. A met yelo, there's no hana'aya b'moto. You can't say the met yelo that the person get hana'a from the met, and you're just paying any difference here. That concept doesn't apply to a human being. You can't get any hana'a from a human being that's died from a corpse. So therefore, that's why that's mema'at that case. Okay, next. Va'esh melamelet al kulam. The case of esh, it actually teaches, not an exceptional case, but teaches about all cases, which is shu'chayiv ala onasin. The yochayiv in the case of ones. Meaning, again, I'll read you the Pnei Moshe and then I'll read you the Kshemar Fulda because it's an interesting thing to say here. He says, ones. Just as a fire, the Yuchayv in a case of ones, a fire spreads Yuchayv, so too, if a human being does damage, it's Chayv in a case of ones. Okay? Fine. Now, here, again, because the Torah says, Ki tetzeh esh, hadam no yuchai be'ones be'esh. This is again the Mara Fulda. He says, Ki tetzeh esh, afilu ma'atzma, ki tetzeh esh, even if it goes on its own, afilu ma'ones, you'd be chayiv. Now, here what's interesting here is the two different ways to, like, we can continue the sugya. The Pnei Moshe Mara Fulda actually moved the words, kashizik chava mazik, to now. And I'll explain it like that, and then I'm going to show you the Ritbaz in a moment. So, in other words, now we're going back to the Mishnah. It says, k'shehezik, in other words, the whole common denominator, all these things, if you do damage, you're chayva mazik. Okay? K'shehezik chayva mazik, l'shalem tashlomi nezik b'met ha'aretz. So the Gemara now says, okay, Amra b'yosi, hada Amra, adam shechaval b'chaviro, if someone inflicts injury on his first, or friend first, afal pi shechazar v'nasan nezik, even if the person, if you like, retaliates, he's chayav. Why? So what's this mean? I'll just show you here. You instigated the damage. I'll just show you here the actually. We'll just go the look at the Pnei Parsha first, then Mara Fulda, and then Ritbaz. I know this breaks our normal pattern, but I still haven't worked out where I'm going to land with a parish of the Bava Kama. But let's continue. It says Adam shechaval b'chaverot tchila.
Nasir, despite the fact Reuven started a fight and he gets injured, he's who chayav, he's still chayav shi'itchil beheizek because you started it, and he's still chayav because the point is, the Mishnah says kishizik chavamazik. So I'll show you the mouthful that he says. Chayev v'day meni tashlumi nezek haino pachata nezek. Tashlumi nezek means a mo'mashlim. Mashi zuko shel nizek yoter termi mashi hezek huamaz lamazik chayev amazik l'shelem. Because when it says tashlumi nezek, the understanding doesn't mean you could have just said chayev benezek. You're chayev in the damage. Tashlumi nezek means there's some sort of differential that's being paid. What would that be? Ah, even if you inflict the damage, you got it yourself. You got to pay the. You still got to pay the difference in the difference in the damage. Okay, very interesting take in the sugya in terms of how to understand it. But I'll show you the Ridbaz here. The Ridbaz does not move those the words. He understands this piece is actually still a continuation of the next part, which is what that are just like Esh Yochayev in a case of Ones. So too are you Chayev if for human damage. Now, what that means is sometimes, like Eshel Minchitzio, even if I've instigated something, I lit a fire, and it's now out of my control, if you like, and it spreads even on, it's I'm chayev for those things that are continuing. Okay? So he understands this beautifully when it comes to damage, like a tussle with two different people. Now, so I think it's an important piece to go through. So I'll show you here the Ridbaz. He says, Amar Rav Yossi. This, again, I think you have it on the side of your daf. It says, this is where Matka Amar Hada Amra Adam Shechaval Bechaveru Tchila Afal Bishe Chazav Nasa Nezek. I'll read you inside. Rotsa Lomar, Im Chaval Hu Tchila Lechaveru Ve'Al Yedei Esrim Chaval Bechaveru Ve'Al Yedei Esrim Chaval Chaval Chaveru Oto. In other words, when you chayv, it sounds like for everything. We'll get to this in other words. In other words, it's not talking about differential here. When are you chayv for everything? That's if you started the fight. Let's explain. Ketiv Rosh Zal. Yosef Zal. It's only if there are two people fighting and grappling with each other that started a fight together. I don't know, like a boxing match. I have no idea. But like they got it. There was no clear who started this. Okay? About that's when only then do we say we look at the difference in damage and they've got to pay the difference. Aval, look at this place. If some guy came up out of the blue and started beating somebody up. The person in self-defense, because he's getting injured here, and there's no other way of saving himself. He had to fight back. Honest, interesting. The second person, absolutely exempt. So that's a smach when the kids say, but he did it first, right? Let's continue. Degabi Adam lo shayach kol haMishnah, despite the fact we've just there's Mishnah we're talking uba acher v'shana bo mikom akom patru al ayin sham ba'aruch. He says v'atam. What's the reason? Mufurash b'Yerushalmi hach, explaining exactly right the reason right here. In other words, he quoted the Rosh that brought this distinction. Where's the basis for this? He says it's Yerushalmi right now that we're reading. If you don't move the words around, he says. You would think the second person should be chayev for the damage he inflicted. Because you think, oh, any damage a human being causes, he's chayev even if it's honest. No, we just said. You smash in someone's car, you're chayev to pay. Even who cares if shogging honest, makes it so to here. The victim here, even if he fights back, it should be chayev, no? No, mikomakom adam chayev afilu b'shogim b'honest. Mikomakom nonetheless, patur hasheni, he's still exempt. And chayev berishon, the first person's chayev. Mishum, why? De chavalada sheni de machmat ones hi bahakol mikocho shel rishon. The comparison to Esh is not just to say you're chayev, but the comparison to Esh is teaching you that even the reaction of the sheni is stemming from the koach of the rishon. The afino miosho we learn from Esh. Because Esh is chayim mishum chetz, like your arrow. Like once you shoot an arrow, even though you're not touching it and it's flying in flight, you're still chayim for what happens. So to a light, you light the fire. I'm not waving the fire, I'm not breathing. No, 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 no. You're still chayim for the way the fire spreads, for whatever damages it causes. Now listen. Okay, one second. Because it's still considered your arrow. Because in other words, when the first person started punching and fighting, he, if you like, the mashal, if you're comparing to Esh, fired his arrow. And any damage that comes mishum ones as a result of that, even though it was caused by the sheni coming back at him, it's still considered mishum. It's still considered his chetz. Okay, hilkach gama ones benezikim patu mikomakom beesho duhu bikocho v'kugofahu chay beones gamken hilkach. Therefore, achalav adsheni beonesi hagam dadam chay beones gamken mikomakom asheni patu mishum dihi bami koach shel rishon. In other words, even though normally a person is chai for any honesty he does, nonetheless, the victim here, the sheni, that fights back and has no other option other to fight back to save himself, it's still considered ba mikoach harishon. That's a chidush here. We learn from this esh. The chashif kofo gucho sharishon, we consider as if it's still the power, if you like, the cause of the rishon. The chaval atzmo, and it's like him injuring himself after. It's like him tripping over and hurting himself. What a tremendous chidush we see in this. Okay?
I don't...
You don't like it?
No.
Okay? Okay, so
it's not clean. It's not clean. It's it's more than physical.
Go on, explain.
Number one hits number two. Okay, so you want to say number two's potter. Number two, 2 days ago, offended number one. I mean, it's like, you know.
We're not talking about tit for tat payback here. I don't think that's what he's talking about. We're talking about the guy's pummeling him. And he's got no other way, latzila, that's more other than, like, you know, kicking, tripping him over or something to get out of there.
No, I understand. But yesterday, you did that to me.
No, but tit for tat is no excuse. You're right. We're not talking about tit for tat. You're 100% correct. I think tit for tat's not an excuse. You chobel me, comes later, I chobel you. We're talking about in a situation that where the second person is mamash be'ones, right? Not that he feels offended and therefore I have to get you back, but honest. No, meaning he's being pummeled, being beaten up. He doesn't want his head to be cracked in. So therefore he throws a punch or he throws a kick to save himself. Okay. Now the chiddush, that's what we're saying here. That's specifically the case. Thank you for pointing out because you have to make it clear. Now, according to the way we've been explained, Mara Fuld, and I think Panay Moshe as well, not 100% sure, Manesha, well, no, if there's a fight, doesn't matter who started it, two people are fighting one another, then you just, whatever the difference in damage, one's got to pay the other. According to the Ribaz, who quotes the Rosh, it says, no, that's only if they both started the fight together. If there's mamash, a self-defense situation, we have no other choice, then the Shein is completely patur. What's that based on? The Chiddush of the Ribaz, it's based on this Sugya. Because we're learning from Esh. In other words, the limud from Esh is not just, oh, you're chayiv be'ones. It goes deeper than that. We're saying the mashal goes much closer. That Esh sometimes is that you see the onesism as a result of a chain reaction, a triggered effect. Mishum chetz. I've launched it and there's all these other consequences as a result. And I can be chayiv for all those consequences. It could be ones. A wind blows this way, that way. Well, we'll discuss Esh in terms of the parameters of that later. But so we see here that if this in this specific situation, not like you were saying, Dov, like tit for tats, in this specific situation, the way the Ribaz explains it, is the Sheni would be absolutely patur because he had no other way to save himself. Yes, he caused damage to get out of it, but nonetheless, he'd be patur because we still defined it as a chetz or sharishon. It's like the first person injuring himself. Tremendous chetz of the sugya. Okay, etc. I thought that was a wonderful piece. Okay, let's continue. Now the Gemara continues. One second. Okay, now the Gemara says, because she's yes, we say that, right? Or kishzik chava mazik. Okay, and or if we put it in here or later. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanina, make b'ma yishalmena, yishalamen pachata. Which means make b'ma yishalmena, like someone's saying, because you're mashlim once again, you pay the difference. That's the understanding that you don't have to pay for the value of the corpse that was left over if it killed his ox. That's the same pshat there. And Bar Padya says, Im tarof yitraf, yavien. Sorry, let me get the punctuation right. Im tarof yitaref, sorry. Yavienu, yavienu. Now it's interesting. It's yavienu ed. The reason why I'm. So the reason why I'm getting caught on myself is because the Mara Fulda says the girsa is not right here. It says, Nira de girsa mushubeshet. It says, so, Yevi Ehu
Ad a trefa lo yishalem. That's how he explains it. So in other words, it doesn't quote the pasuk. He sort of breaks up with other things. So it's like interspersed pasuk with perush. So the perusho ad a trefa yishalem. You have to pay ad ha trefa. Even the pasuk says ed. It's up until ad, not ed. Ad a trefa, up until the trefa itself. Vainu pachata yishalem. Aval. In other words, the fact that it's now being killed, I have to pay the difference in value between the corpse, the not corpse, the carcass that's left over, and the full amount. But I have to pay the full value of the man, of the animal. That's exactly the same Reb Chanina. Now, the point is that we're going to get to in the next shiur, is looking at why I need both these psukim. Why do I need the limud of Reb Chanina and the river of Padaya seems to be, or Padaya, seems to be really teaching the same point, and the Gemara is going to address why I needed both of them. Okay, but that'll take us well into tomorrow's, Sunday's time. So, said it. We'll stop here. Kol tov, have a good day.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shalom.
Guten Shabbos.